You are listening to the audio production of Hello Stars by Alina Pitts and Winter Pitts, published by Zondervan and read by Piper Jones.
Dedication. This is for Caitlin, Cameron, and Olivia. I pray you always shine for Jesus. You make our world brighter. Chapter 1. Mom! Don't forget to let Austin out today! I yelled back through the two glass kitchen doors. Austin was still standing there, watching as Amber and I were the first to head out for the day. I kept thinking about him and how badly I wished he'd come to school with me. I once asked my science teacher, Mr. Lipscomb, if we could use him as a class pet, but the idea was quickly rejected when he realized Austin doesn't like to sit still, partially follows rules, and sometimes nibbles on chairs. But how awesome would school be if he could be there? Totally awesome. Oh, Austin is my wrinkle-faced, floppy-eared, four-legged friend. Technically, he's a blue-nosed bully puppy, but he's much more human than any dog I have ever met. Just 28 days left, boy! I yelled louder to get him excited. Dad flung the doors open with Ansley and Ashton hurrying behind him. Love you, Mom! Austin scurried away, and my sisters and I followed Dad and headed to the van. 28 days till what, Lena? Amber asked. That's how many days I have left in the fifth grade. Then it's summer vacation, and I can't wait. Amber took the news and chased behind Dad, calling his name until she reached his side. She reached him right before he slid the back door open. She wrapped her tiny arms around his khaki pant leg and exclaimed, "It's almost summer!" One by one, we tossed our book bags, lunch boxes, and water bottles in and hopped into the back of our minivan. I wanted to tell you I have to go out of town today. It's a quick trip, so I won't be home this evening, but I'll see you in time for school tomorrow morning, okay? Okay, we responded in unison. Ansley used the short car ride to school to discuss her upcoming 9th birthday plans, while Ashton and Amber sat in the back talking about how excited they were to be graduating from kindergarten in just a few weeks. Okay, here we are. Dad's announcement caused everyone to pause their conversations. I glanced down at my watch. The digits 8:12 flashed before my eyes. We only have 3 minutes. I don't want to be late today. Dad pulled his car forward until we reached the main school doors. They were already swinging shut. Dad let out a deep grunt. Sorry, guys. Love you. Love you too, Daddy, we yelled as we hopped out of the van and headed into the big brick building. Ansley ran to the left, Amber and Ashton to the right, and I raced straight ahead to Miss Blount's history class. I whispered a silent prayer. Dear God, please let her door still be open. I hated being late to Miss Blount's class. She's my history and language arts teacher. She also happens to be a huge rule follower, so if her door was closed, then I would most definitely need to get a tardy pass from the office, which meant that I would be even later to class than I already was. Unfortunately, when I reached room 109, the door was closed. I carefully stood on my tiptoes to peek through the skinny glass window next to the door. I wanted to see inside without Miss Blount seeing or hearing me. Everyone was shuffling around in their backpacks and shoving loose papers into their notebooks. I waited until my eyes met Savannah's. She flashed a sheepish grin in my direction and quickly looked away. Savannah is always on time and prepared. I remember meeting her in the first grade. When I walked into the classroom, she was sitting straight against the back of her chair, her feet placed perfectly side by side in front of her, and she had on a pair of white ruffled socks that matched the two large white hair bows dangling from each side of her head. Her hands were crossed delicately, resting on top of her desk. She looked perfect, and I knew right away we would become the best of friends. I dropped back to my heels and exhaled. I marched to the office and filled out the tardy sheet. I crumpled the pink copy with the faded words and stuffed it into my backpack. I balled the white copy up in my left fist and marched right back to room 109. I knocked on the door, held up the crinkled copy of the white excuse sheet, and smiled. Miss Blount opened the door and welcomed me in. "Good morning, Miss Blount," I said apologetically. Good morning, she replied, without ever moving her actual mouth. I'm always amazed at how she does that. No expression, no smile, no eye contact, just a gravelly voice that escapes a tiny hole between her top and bottom lips. I handed her the paper as quickly as I could and slid past her through the door and into the room. I spotted my empty chair right next to Savannah, so I headed in that direction to take my place. As I walked past Savannah's desk, I nodded and mouthed, "How'd it go?" She knew I was talking about her weekend at our favorite singer Mallory Winston's concert, so she gave me a "can't wait to tell you all about it, but not now" thumbs up, and finished coloring in the pattern of funny faces she had already drawn all over her worksheet. Great, I thought to myself. Miss Blount was in the middle of explaining how George Washington had never really cut down a cherry tree. I put on my glasses, opened my eyes really wide, and tried to focus. For some reason, it wasn't working. I just couldn't seem to stop my brain from drifting into a magical world full of baby Austin swimming in pools of cherry-flavored whipped cream clouds surrounded by rainbows and puppy treats. Before I knew it, half the day was over, and everyone was grabbing their things and heading to lunch. I'm starving. Let's find Emma, Savannah announced as we strolled toward the cafeteria. Savannah and I scanned the large room until we spotted Emma in the middle of a huge crowd. She was wearing her knee-high white lace socks, her navy uniform skirt with the two large red buttons on the front, and she had her black fringed vest tossed over her white uniform shirt. Emma burst through the crowd chanting, "Lena! Lena! Savannah! Hey! Over here! Hey, girl!" Savannah wrapped her arms around Emma's neck. Love the socks. Me too. But wait until Miss Blount sees them. You're gonna get it, I sneered playfully. Wait, what's wrong with these? Emma seemed genuinely surprised by my warning as she knocked her knees together and shrugged innocently. I have never been able to figure out how she can get away with being completely out of uniform every day, but she does. It's probably because Emma knows how to make everyone smile with her silly jokes and spunky smile. She is always ready to have fun, and I think even the overly strict teachers like Miss Blount appreciate that. Savannah and I followed Emma to a table mostly full of friends from her homeroom. This is the first year since first grade that the three of us haven't shared a single class together. We missed her, but our friendship is strong enough to survive a few hours apart. Emma slid into the open space between two of her friends while Savannah and I sat directly across from them. Deliberately and quietly, everyone emptied their lunch bags. I reached into my right pocket and pulled out my sandwich. Then I reached into my left and grabbed a handful of snacks. "Still no lunchbox?" Savannah asked. "Nope, and I'm not ready to tell my mom yet. Anyone want my fruit snacks?" I waved the little blue bag from side to side in the air. "Ooh, I'll take them." Emma reached across the table to grab them, but I pulled them back just in time for her hand to land on top of my already smushed sandwich. We all burst out laughing. I put my finger over my open mouth and whispered, "Shh," through my giggles. I could feel Miss Blount glaring in our direction, and I didn't want anyone to get in trouble. "Hurry and eat, guys, so we can go outside. We have a lot to talk about," Savannah urged. "Ooh, I almost forgot," Emma practically screamed. "You went to Mallory Winston's concert. Did you get to meet her? Which songs did she sing?" Emma tossed question after question out to Savannah. Savannah caught each of them and calculated her thoughts before offering any responses. Emma and I were sitting on the edge of our seats, filled with anticipation. Savannah's grandmother had given her two tickets for her birthday. Emma and I were pretty sad that we didn't get to go with her, but we didn't think it would be fair for her to choose one of us, so we all agreed it would be best if she took her cousin instead. At least one of us got to go. All we needed was for her to tell us all about it. "She'll fill us in after lunch," I said quietly to try and calm Emma down. I could see Miss Blount moving toward our table. Uh-oh. Her steps were long and slow until she was standing in the small space between my back and the fourth grade table behind me. I stuffed a few green grapes into my mouth. Savannah took a gulp from her orange water bottle while Emma continued to talk. "Savannah, I can't wait. Please tell me now." Lena Daniels, Miss Blunt spoke sternly. I wasn't even talking, I thought to myself. I spun around, but in slow motion. Yes, ma'am? I whimpered in a voice of total fear and complete panic. Mr. Lipscomb would like to see you in the science room, she said. Finish your lunch and go straight there. You can head right to recess after. I said a quick, yes, ma'am, and turned back around. I took the last bite of my sandwich and jumped up from the table. Don't say anything about Mallory until I get back. I doubled my normal walking speed as I headed to Mr. Lipscomb's room. He greeted me at the door, and his first words were, "Tomorrow is dissection day." From there, I knew exactly what he wanted. Mr. Lipscomb always calls on me when he needs help in the science lab. He says I am responsible. He wanted me to clean the tables before the dissection the next day. I asked him why we cleaned the tables before if it was just going to get covered in slime, blood, and animal guts. He said it needed to be sanitary for the animals. I didn't understand this either. Why do we make it sanitary for a dead animal? I am 99% sure the animal doesn't have feelings, and if it did, I'm pretty sure he or she was going to care a lot more about getting cut open and pulled apart than the table being cleaned for its second death. But, oh well. I finished our conversation with, "Yes, sir, I can do it," and headed to recess. Emma and Savannah ran toward me. "Lena, Lena, hurry up!" they yelled. Savannah did not waste any time before jumping right into all the fascinating Mallory Winston details we had been waiting to hear all morning. The concert was fabulous. Emma raised her hands in the air and wiggled her wrists, causing her hands to flail uncontrollably. Savannah continued. She was wearing purple boots, and she had a purple feather in her hair to match. "That's so cool!" Emma screeched. "I want a pair," I said softly. I am pretty sure Savannah didn't hear either of us. She was so excited that she just kept right on talking. It was so fun seeing her this energetic and full of spunk. Not many things can pull this much enthusiasm from Savannah, but Mallory Winston had a way of making us all smile. When she first came on stage, she was alone with just one tiny light shining on her. She was holding her guitar, and guess what she sang? Savannah asked, but we all knew she didn't need an answer. She had our full attention. We stood directly in front of her, captivated by each word she spoke. "Lena," she sang, "Run Away With Me." I bent my knees and pushed my body downward playfully until I was almost on the ground. Savannah reached down and pretended to catch me. "Don't worry, we recorded it for you. I'll show you the next time you come over." "Yay!" I cheered. Savannah's eyes grew as big as ping pong balls as she leaned forward. "You guys are not going to believe this. It's the best part. Mallory Winston is having a contest. It's like a chance to audition for a movie. But guess what the best part is?" "What?" The anticipation was building, and I could feel my heart doing a happy dance inside my chest. "The winner will get to meet her. You and Emma have to do it. This is your chance to meet Mallory Winston." The three of us became one big ball of bouncy noise. "Wait, but how?" Emma said exactly what I was thinking. "She said the information is on her website. Just go to it and enter." We all jumped up and down again. "Savannah, you have to do it too," I demanded, even though I already knew she probably wouldn't. She's way too shy for that. The bell rang and we darted in separate directions. "Bye, Emma," Savannah and I called as we headed inside and back towards room 109. When Miss Blount announced we had earned a little reward time for finishing our grammar worksheets on time, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I needed to tell someone about my chance to meet Mallory. I found the huge blue beanbag in the back corner of our classroom under the huge wooden frame we made as a class. It looked like a window full of stars in the middle of the wall. We'd each signed our names on a little star and placed them on a huge piece of dark blue construction paper behind the frame. Miss Blount said she wanted us to always remember to shine. I opened the little black notebook I had recently gotten for my 11th birthday and started writing. "Hello, stars. Today is the best day ever. You know that Mallory Winston concert that Savannah went to? Well, she just told us all about it, and there's a chance I could actually meet her. That would be the best thing ever. I'm gonna pray and ask God to make that happen. Mallory loves God, and I love her, so I hope he listens. Dear God, can you help me to meet Mallory Winston? Okay, thanks. For the rest of the day, my head was spinning with the thought of meeting Mallory Winston. Even though I had no idea what I needed to do, I was determined that I would do it as soon as I got home. Chapter 2. The sound of the last bell tickled my ears. I gathered all of my things and raced to the van. Mom hit the little button when she saw me coming, and by the time I reached the door, it was already open. I plopped right in, ignoring my sisters, and started talking. Mom, you are not going to believe what Savannah told me today.
Oh, really? What is it?
Mom kept her eyes on the road in front of her, but she made sure I could see her smile through the rearview mirror. You know how Savannah went to Mallory Winston's concert this weekend? Mom nodded. Well, she said Mallory told everyone she's having a contest and that the winner would have a chance to meet her and audition to be in a movie with her. My mouth was moving fast and the words were spilling out. Oh, wow, Lena, that's great, Mom said. Wait, how, Lena? Ansley asked. Well, I don't know all the details yet, but I wanted to know if I can enter when we get home. Can I, Mom?
We can certainly talk about it.
Mom, please, I begged. First, we'll need to know what the contest is and what you have to do. At a stoplight, Mom reached her hand back and quickly patted my leg to try and calm my excitement. I know, I said quickly. Savannah says that all the details are on her website.
Okay, let's take a look when we get home. After homework, of course.
Yes, of course. I sat back in my seat, smiling from ear to ear, picturing what it would be like to actually meet Mallory Winston. Mom knows how much I love her. She's the one who got me her CD for my 10th birthday, and I have loved her ever since. I spent the rest of the car ride trying to explain to Ashton that Savannah said this was for big girls only, and even though she was a big girl, she wasn't big enough yet. I promised that I would take everyone with me if I won. So if you meet her, then we will get to meet her too, right, Lena? Ashton confirmed. Yes, I nodded. Absolutely. I smiled back at her toothless 6-year-old grin. The car had barely come to a stop before I hopped out and ran into the playroom to get to work on my homework. After finishing, I grabbed my mom's computer and typed www.mallorywinston.com. Calling all girls 10 to 12 years old was highlighted across the top of the page in flashing black letters. I scrolled the little black arrow directly on top of the words and waited anxiously as the video loaded. Hey, so I have a little bit of fun for you girls. There she was, Mallory. I'm gonna be in a movie, like a for real movie. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mallory, you are not an actress. And I agree. Crazy, right? But here's the thing. You are right. I am not an actress, but I am God's girl, and that means I'll do whatever he tells me to do. This movie is an awesome opportunity to shine God's love on the world, so I am doing it. And guess what?
What?
I replied back as if she could hear me. I want you to do it with me. We are looking for a girl between the ages of 10 and 12 years old to be in the movie with me. The best part is, you don't need to be an actress either. You just need to send me a video telling me who you are and why you want to audition and anything else random and cool that you want me to know. Mallory's video message ended with, "Just do it and see what happens. Remember, anything is possible with Jesus. He loves you and has a big plan for your life." Well, Mom's words startled me. I was so intrigued with Mallory and her announcement that I hadn't even heard her come into the room. "Can I do it?" I asked.
Mom's forehead had three tiny wrinkles forming in the space where her eyes meet her nose. Lena, do you realize it's for a chance to audition for a movie? You would meet Mallory, but that's not really what the contest is for. Do you even want to be in a movie? I paused for a moment. Like, be an actress? I could feel my forehead creasing, mirroring my mother's. I had never actually thought about it. My sisters and I loved to make up plays and shows. Sometimes we even recorded them and added cool music and effects. But this was also a chance to meet Mallory, so of course I wanted to do it. Well, yes, I'm sure I want to do it. Each word I spoke was a little more convincing than the one before it. Even Mallory said you don't need to be a real actress, so why not? I mean, I at least need to send a video, right? Mom looked at me as if she was trying to see inside my brain. I stood tall and spoke loudly. Yes. Yes, I want to be an actress. Mom dropped her mouth open and let out a high-pitched, "Aw, Lena!" Is that a yes? Mommy, please. Can we record a video and send it to Mallory? Can we do it now, please? Okay, Lena. Yes, I'm going to meet Mallory Winston. Don't you mean you're going to enter the contest to audition for a part in a movie that Mallory Winston will be in? Mom chuckled. Oh, right. That's what I meant. I ran off and immediately scouted the house for a plain white wall and a quiet space to record in. The wall was way easier to find than the silence I needed. But after begging Ashton, Amber, and Ansley, they agreed to sit quietly and watch if I agreed to mention them in the video. We had a deal. Mom, I'm ready. Bring your phone, please. I shoved a few fruit snacks into my mouth to try to calm my jittery stomach and waited as Mom shuffled her way down the hall. Are you sure you are ready? She asked. Have you prepared anything? Yep, I'm ready. Do you know you have jelly on your shirt? She laughed. Oh, that's weird. Must be from lunch. Stay here, I'll go change. I replaced my dingy uniform shirt with the fresh yellow t-shirt. I stood in front of the mirror, patted my hair down, and gave myself the once-over before determining I was ready. Ashton stopped me in the hall and locked eyes with my khaki uniform skirt. It's fine. Mom will only record from the waist up, I assured her before she could voice her concern out loud. Mom, I'm ready. Mom looked me over and gave me the thumbs up before hitting record. I leaned against the wall and stared directly into the little hole at the top of her phone. In 2.5 minutes, I told Mallory all about my life and my plans to be an Olympic swimmer and a volleyball player. I told her about Savannah and Emma, and I told her to keep an eye out for their videos as well. As promised, I talked about each of my sisters. I told her how fun it was to have twin sisters and how opposite they are. Amber is so silly, and Ashton is so serious. They are hilarious together. But then there is my other sister, Ansley. Ansley just makes us laugh all the time. She doesn't even try, and that's what's so funny about her. When I finished talking, Mom handed me the phone to check the video. I'll send it later, I told her, and instead, I immediately attached the file to an email and hit send. Without giving Mom a chance to respond, I grabbed both of my mom's hands and forced her to dance in a circle with me while squealing, "We did it! Thank you, Mommy!" For the rest of the evening, my body felt like I had little ants crawling up and down my legs, and I needed to keep shaking them off. So I did. I danced through dinner, had a personal concert in the shower, and slid up and down the halls in my stockinged feet until it was bedtime. When Mom turned Ansley's and my bedroom light off for the night, I was still singing. I was wide awake. My body was exhausted, but when I closed my eyes, I pictured myself standing next to Mallory, wearing matching purple boots. "Can you sing one of my songs?" she'd ask. And of course, I would belt out a beautiful array of her music until eventually she'd join me. We'd sing for hours, wearing matching outfits, and live happily ever after. My thoughts made me giggle. "Ansley?" I whispered. A grunt, moan, and snort were her reply. "Ah, I need to empty my brain." I reached under my bed and grabbed my little book and pulled out my favorite I Love Paris pin. Then I scooted to the corner of my bed, right under my window. I knew just where to crawl in order to let the nighttime light hit the pages of my journal. I glanced up at the sky and smiled at the stars. "Hello, stars," I whispered. "Hello, stars. It's me, Lena, again. I know we just talked earlier, but I promise I'll leave you alone after this. Okay, well, except for my daily countdown to summer vacation, which, by the way, is only 27. Remember I told you about the chance to meet Mallory? Well, I did my part, and I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I'm going to meet Mallory Winston. Mom wants me to stop saying that and to say that I entered into a contest for a chance to audition for a part in a movie, but that's way too complicated. I know it's not guaranteed, but I have a feeling in my toes. I am going to meet Mallory Winston, and I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. Oh, yeah. And now, good night. Chapter 3. Lena, wake up! I could hear the words rattling in my brain, but my body refused to respond. Lena, Daddy's getting us donuts! I opened my eyes, and I could see straight up Ansley's nose. She was standing so close, I had to move just to see the rest of her face. I rolled away from my sister's morning breath greeting and sat straight up. Donuts? I asked. And with one nod of her head, I was suddenly wide awake. I began to unravel my blanket from around my neck, pulling and pulling until I was finally able to break free. Come on, guys, donuts today! I hollered down the hall toward Ashton and Amber's room while headed for the bathroom. We already know, their tiny voices called. Good morning, Mommy. I have to help Mr. Lipscomb today, I bellowed down the hall. Hi, Lena. Dad poked his head in the bathroom. We will be sure to get you there on time. Oh, hi, Daddy. Glad you're back, I smiled. I can't wait to see this video. I've heard all about it. His words made my toes curl. Within 15 minutes, I was fully dressed. My teeth were brushed, and I was standing in the middle of the kitchen, searching frantically for my lunchbox. Ash, Am, Anne's, have you guys seen my lunchbox? Nope. 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 Ugh, I moaned. Please, God, help me find it, I thought to myself. Just as I was stuffing a peanut butter and honey sandwich into the side pocket of my polka dot jacket, I was abruptly interrupted by a wet smack on my knee. Hey, buddy, hold on. I reached down to pat Austin on the head and was met by his cold, wet tongue instead. Ew! I placed a hand behind each of his floppy ears and leaned down close to his navy blue nose. 27 days left, boy. Then I'm all yours for the summer. Austin scurried behind me, nibbling on the back of my shoes and circling my ankles until Dad announced that it was time to go. Like almost always, we gathered around the back door to pray first. Ashton held out her tiny hand and linked with Amber. Amber locked elbows with Ansley, while Ansley fumbled her backpack to the floor with her loose arm. I grabbed it and playfully squeezed my hand down her arm until our hands met. Mom rested one arm around my shoulder and the other around the bottom of Dad's waist. Dad left one arm free and held Mom's phone in his palm. Standing like this, in a circle and attached to my family, is one of my favorite parts of the morning. I suppose it's like a family tradition. My dad's mom prayed with him every morning, and now he prays with us. It always reminds me of a team, and this is our huddle before the game. Teams come up with a plan to take care of each other and work together in order to win. You never break a huddle and start playing knowing that your teammate isn't prepared. No one would start the game if a team member was wearing the wrong colored jersey or if their shoe was untied. Team members take care of each other. Dad says that prayer and God's word give us our daily instructions. No one is ready for the day until we've read it together. I close my eyes and prepare to listen to my dad. Lena, he spoke, before we pray today, let's hear about this Mallory Winston contest. Dad was the only sound I could get out before Ansley interrupted. Let's watch the video. Oh, yeah, I agreed. I haven't even watched it yet. Standing even closer than we were before, giggling and squirming, we glued our eyes to the tiny screen resting in Dad's hand.
Oh, no!
I screamed out immediately. Everyone gasped. There I was on the screen with a huge glob of gummy goo nesting between my top two front teeth.
Why didn't anyone tell me my teeth were red?
I let out a desperate cry. Immediately, I could feel tears welling in the bottom lids of my eyes. Everyone remained silent, and the look on my sister's faces was a mix of fear and total confusion. Their eyes were full of concern as a stream of tears poured down my face. What is that? Dad was puzzled.
Fruit snacks, Ashton answered for me.
Is this the one you sent? He asked. Mom tried to quiet his questions and resolve my meltdown.
It's okay, sweetie.
But it wasn't. The video had been sent.
No, it's not. This is terrible.
Sorry, Lena, but don't worry about it. Dad took a concerned tone and began searching for something on Mom's phone. He found what he was looking for and read Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I stood in the middle of our family huddle and sobbed.
How can I be thankful for this? This is terrible. I know that Mallory is laughing at my pathetic attempt to convince her that I am the one she should choose. How could she even take me seriously with a giant piece of fruit snack on my tooth?
I sobbed even louder. Mom hushed me with a full body squeeze. I felt my body collapse into hers while a group of tiny fingers patted my back. Mom spoke softly.
Lena, God isn't saying to be thankful because you made a mistake. He wants you to be thankful even though you made a mistake.
See, God wants us to acknowledge His goodness in our lives, even when things aren't going the way we want. He tells us not to worry about anything, even our mistakes, but to thank Him instead for His goodness and trust Him with everything, even the things we think are mistakes. He can handle those if we ask Him to.
Huh?
Ashton stole the words right from my mouth. God is compassionate to us, so He is not happy to see you so sad. But Lena, it really will be okay. Instead of focusing on the fruit snack, let's thank God for Mallory and the great opportunity this is. Then let's just trust Him for the plan He has for your life, okay? Let's pray. Mom released her squeeze just enough for Dad to place his hand on the side of my dripping wet face.
Can I pray? Amber asked.
Dad nodded.
Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you that we are going to get donuts. I pray that you help Lena not be sad about her tooth, and that you let Mallory pick her anyway, and that we all get to meet her. Amen.
Amen. When my eyes opened, Mom was staring at me. It's going to be okay, Lena. Mom definitely had no way of knowing that it would be okay, but hearing her say those words did make me feel better.
We need to head out for donuts if you plan to get to school on time today. Don't you have some dissection tables to clean?
Mom's voice was gentle and playful.
Oh, right.
Guess we need to go, I said. We hustled out the door, loaded up in the minivan, and headed straight for donuts. Dad did his best to distract me by telling us all about the time he worked all summer delivering newspapers because he needed to save enough money to buy a pair of red Chuck Taylors. However, when he wore them to school the first time, everyone laughed at him and said his feet looked like two big water balloons. His story did make me chuckle, and Amber and Ashton laughed so hard their bellies started to hurt. We arrived at school nice and early, and I headed straight to the lab to clean the soon-to-be extra gross dissection tables. I wasn't in the mood, but I knew Mr. Lipscomb was counting on me. I opened the door to his room and immediately tripped over a squishy yellow bundle of chirping down.
Oh, no!
This could not be good. 2 weeks ago, Mr. Lipscomb purchased baby chicks for our class. He also purchased a cage for them, so I had no idea why they were scurrying around the classroom. I flicked on the lights, and there they were, two of our new class pets. One was pecking around aimlessly, and the other was doing something that involved smelling or looking at his chick friend's tail end. Whatever he was doing seemed gross, and I preferred not to stare. We had learned as a class that this is perfectly normal chick behavior. Now, there they were, loose in the middle of our gigantic science lab. The lab I was supposed to clean before our big dissection today. It finally sunk in that it was just me, the chicks, and this wide open space. If anyone was going to do something, it had to be me. I immediately went into full-on Lena to the rescue mode, sprinting from one corner of the room to the next, panicking and chanting, "Oh no, oh no, gloves, gloves, oh no, where are the gloves?" I knew I needed to get those chicks back into their cage before they tried to eat the frozen frogs that were lying in the crates on the floor. Do chicks even eat frogs? I had no idea, but I knew this could not be good. I needed to find the gloves. The last thing I wanted to do was touch a tail-sniffing chick without gloves on. "Found them," I shouted to myself. I grabbed the box of rubber gloves and tried to pull one out. After frantically tugging at them for about 6 seconds, I ended up with about 9 gloves in my hand and 25 more all over the floor. "I'll worry about those later," I said out loud. I kept one eye on the escapees while heading toward the cage. Mr. Lipscomb bought 8 chicks, and I needed to make sure that the other 6 were where they were supposed to be. I peeked in the cage and gasped. The remaining chicks were stepping on top of each other, flapping their little wings and using their food bowl as a ladder. They were all trying to escape. "Oh, no, you don't. Nice try," I mumbled. "Great teamwork, guys," I had to admit. I reached down just in time to catch the 3rd escapee mid-flight and dropped him back into the cage with the rest of them. His sudden return caused them all to disperse a bit and delayed their plans. I, on the other hand, needed a plan, and I needed one quick. I scanned the room for a lid for the cage or something that I could use as a temporary top. I found nothing. Absolutely nothing. "Think, Lena, think," I said to myself. I remembered I was wearing a jacket. I immediately slid it off, tied a sleeve to opposite sides of the cage, covering up as much of the top as I could. By now, the 2 original escapees had wandered all the way to the back of the room and were under Mr. Lipscomb's desk. I trotted over to them, caught one, and ran back to the cage. I raced back for the other, grabbed him, and dropped him in as well. I was 2 seconds away from breathing a sigh of relief when I felt something tickling my ankle. Another one had escaped. This one must have been smart and quick, because he found the one open space near my jacket collar and flapped his new wings right through it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh no! Another had escaped. I chased him down and turned to drop him back in, only to find that now there were only 3 chicks in the cage. The jacket was dangling off one corner by a sleeve. These chicks were impossible to catch. Every time I placed one back in, another had already used his friend's backs to hop out. This entire incident was going downhill really fast. I reached down and tried to grab as many as I could in one swift scoop. Just as I was wrapping my arms around the bundle of chicks, in walked Savannah and Emma. I immediately dropped them all. The chicks made a thump when they landed and scattered across the entire floor, flapping, chirping, and sniffing. This was not good. Savannah's face turned tomato red, and she opened her mouth wide as if she wanted to scream, but nothing came out, just one big gasp. "Come on, Savannah, help!" Emma screeched as she bent down and tried to help me capture the fleeing birds. Seconds later, Mr. Lipscomb walked in and froze with one foot in the door and the other mid-air while he screamed, "Lena, Emma, Savannah, what is happening in here?" "We didn't do it," I protested, realizing we were the only students in the room, and unlike Savannah and Emma, I was covered in fuzz. Mr. Lipscomb began chasing the chicks across the room. "Get to class, girls," he snapped. "I'll take care of this and deal with you later." The urgency in his voice demanded our instant obedience, and in a single file line, we quickly marched out. "Lena, who let the chicks out?" Emma asked. "I have no idea. They were out when I walked in." "Wow. Sorry we didn't show up sooner." Savannah's apology was sincere. "I'm so glad you came to help. There is no way I could have caught them by myself. Wait, why did you come in there anyway?" Emma did a full body spin and skipped backwards. "Well, we wanted to know if you sent a video to Mallory, and we knew you'd be here early today." My heart dropped, and I immediately felt the urge to hold back tears. Fighting the runaway chicks had actually taken my mind off the gummy goo. "Oh, yeah, well, yeah, sort of." "Okay, tell us later. We need to get to class before Miss Blunt closes the door. Emma, see you at lunch." Savannah pulled me in the same direction while gently shoving Emma toward her part of the long, skinny corridor. We dashed down the hall and slipped through the still slightly open door of the classroom just in time. "Good morning, class." Miss Blunt shut the door behind us. While I waited for her to start the day, I sat quietly with my pen, paper, and little notebook in hand and pretended to be invisible. Oh, stars. I wonder how long it will be before the news about the chicks spreads. Mr. Lipscomb is going to tell Miss Blunt. Miss Blunt is going to tell the principal. And the principal will call my mom. Mom will call Dad, and Dad will show up at the school, call me to the office, and demand an explanation. Someone from my class will see my dad come into the office and create an elaborate story about Emma, Savannah, and me getting into a fight in the science lab, knocking over the chicken coop, and being sent to the office by Miss Blunt for causing such a commotion. Can this day get any worse? I'm trying not to worry here, but clearly it's not working. I wish I could just disappear.